Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. It's our meeting scheduled for Monday, September 26th, 2011. I could ask the committee to go immediately to the minutes that require approval. We have a number of sets on here. The first two, obviously, were from two meetings on August 15th, 22nd, 6th, and September 19th. If you could take a moment just to review them one final time, and then I'll... Okay. All right. So, are there any additions or corrections to these minutes?
I can move all of them for adoption.
Okay.
I can vote for
adoption. Okay. So we have a motion from...
I'll second all of them except the ones of August 15th.
Okay.
I'll second those two.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on all of the minutes as presented. All in favor of approving these?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, these minutes then are approved as they were submitted. Okay. What I think I would like to do is go immediately to our discussion on the Citizens Committee report. Gentlemen are here, and I appreciate you being here on time, ready to go. And the report. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was it Wednesday of last week?
Yes.
Wednesday of last week. Okay. So the report was officially presented.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. It was Thursday, the 22nd.
Thursday. Okay. All right. And I have my autographed copy.
Good.
But anyway,
Did everyone?
I didn't get one.
No,
they're online. We in the interest of online. Of you know okay. Savings, right. we prepared a number of them. We can have a couple sent down.
Okay.
They're all on the dedicated website.
Okay.
Playland RFP.
If you'd like to have a report that you can pack with you, especially if you're going out, then let Susan know, and she can talk to Katie and get a report if you'd like to have one of the individuals. You can borrow mine or if you put a deposit down.
Yeah, because everybody has the folder.
Oh, you've already done that, Susan?
So yes.
Oh, yes, here it is.
Okay, very good. Okay. What I wanted to discuss with the administration present was obviously the report. One of the things that's most obvious as you go through the report, it assists everyone with these groupings that have been made. You know, the best candidates, kind of the ones on the lower end of the scale and those in between. And I wanted to talk with the committee about the extent that you want to be involved with talking to any of the parties that submitted proposals. If the committee wants to do that, I know that there has been a request that this committee immediately convene a meeting where they are all in attendance, and that I don't. Let me say right now, I don't think that one is a good idea, and two, if you only assign 15 minutes to each for their presentations and questions. You're talking about a meeting that probably is going to go 3 to 4 hours in length because you're never going to be able to hold to that time frame. Plus, I don't know really what the objective would be. So I want you to know if you've heard that that's been requested of me, that's correct. But you know, I don't think that would be an appropriate thing for this committee to do. If the committee of the whole decides to go down that road, that's another matter. But I certainly am open to any of the suggestions as to what this particular committee of the board could be doing with respect to what the Citizens Committee views are the best proposals, maybe the top three or so. But, and you know, I'm very sorry, you know, being down here, did you want to, I mean, obviously,
I just wanted to say a few
what did you want to lead in with?
Yeah,
I apologize.
That's right. Okay. I put Bill Mooney, senior assistant and the county executive down here because Bill was really the point person from the administration standpoint, working with the law department and the parks department from the get-go, and also was the liaison to the Citizens Committee. Mm-hmm. I know the county executive expressed this at his press conference, but for people that might be watching this at home, we do want to express our gratitude to the 19 member Citizens Committee that put in a lot of time, and as the county executive said at the press conference, and as the citizens group, I think, got into it, and as our own staff and our experts got into it, this is a lot more than what you need. You might remember a few months back when we had that first Charter Commission meeting, and everybody said, oh, we can do this in a year, and then you start to look at things, and it takes longer and longer.
Sure.
Just to get the committee members up to speed so they all had an equal level of knowledge of the operations at Playland and what we were looking for and what the purpose of the report was. I think one of the other things I want to emphasize is that this is not the final step in this process. This is the second of a multi-step process. This was to see what's out there. I don't think the county executive, I know the county executive has not made up his mind whether one of these is good or all of them are good. Purposely, a number of us, including myself, that's why I brought Bill down here, really did not get into this process because we wanted to approach it from a fresh point of view, not having heard all the details or have seen all the proposals or gotten into a give and take with that, and wanted to see what the Citizens Committee would come up with first. Mm-hmm. As their recommendation. And they proceeded along some criteria that we gave them, the five E's, and the disadvantage I think that the committee had, which when you mentioned about the legislature getting involved, obviously you're going to have to be involved. And one of the problems is that some of the financial proprietary information has to be kept confidential. And I think I know that's one of the things the Citizens Committee complained about. It's great to do all this, but we don't really know if X, Y, and Z have the financial wherewithal. So having said all that, we're happy to share this with you and work with either your committee or the entire board or however you want to proceed as we begin to ferret through these RFPs. It may be that a way to do this, and I haven't talked to the county executive yet, but perhaps maybe a subgroup of your committee, just as we have three legislators on the Citizens Committee, maybe you could be part of a team that when the administration is starting to fine-tooth comb these RFPs and deciding whether we want to go with one or bring two or three together as a hybrid, maybe that's a way we can do that. But, let's start the dialogue today with that. So I don't know if you want to add anything else.
Go ahead.
One or two things. Judy, would you have a question now?
It's leaving me a little bit, I'm really confused now, because I believe this kind of thing has been done many times before within the County of Westchester, and I believe there is a procedure with which the executive branch and the legislative branch do work. And to me, it sounds like you're trying to reinvent something.
You're talking about an RFP process?
Oh, I'm talking about an RFP process. Well, I'm talking about the entire idea of discussion of and the policy regarding public parkland.
I was on this board 14 years. I don't remember ever being part of an RFP process until the RFP was put forth or approved by the administrative branch, and then it came down to us for an up or down vote.
That there's no question that the board will be involved, and that's where I wanted to just add a little more to what George said. And that, when I'm out in public and people ask, what's going to happen, it's very important to manage expectations with respect to this process, this report. And as George pointed out, this is phase two. Phase one was the development of the RFP. What are we going to ask for? Let's not narrow it to how do you want to make a better amusement park. We admitted we wanted to see what the private sector, what could it be? Could it be from a development? Could it be open space, et cetera? That was phase one. Phase two was the county executive's mechanism by which to, it's really non-traditional in an RFP, to get the public involved. I describe these people as ambassadors to the public on this process because they can now go out and help us educate the public about how many difficult issues we are facing, how difficult the process is, and the process. We are now moving into phase three. Ordinarily, as everyone here knows, when we do an RFP, whether it be for pencils or papers, you do an RFP for, I want a black pencil, 6 inches long, or a white piece of paper, etc. And it goes to the law department, goes to the user department, in this instance, it's parks. DPW would do chairs or bridges or roads or whatever it might be. Then they would evaluate it, and then it'd be a policy consideration. That's where we are now. This phase two, the Citizens Review Committee, is a very non-traditional mechanism by which to throw transparency onto the process and allow the public to take a look at this. So really, right now in phase three, where we just started, would be where a traditional RFP would be. And as George just points out, now it is going to go to, and the committee laughed when I said the professional staff, and they took, you know, they jokingly said, what do you mean, we're professionals too. But it will go to the lawyers, it will go to the bond counsel. Who knows? The law department may look at, you know, 8 out of 12 of these and say they're not legally responsible, as we all know, according to our county procurement and county charter laws. So they will look at it, bond counsel will look at it, and then, you know, in the user department and policy. And as George just points out, it then moves to what we're referring to, and very loosely, as phase four. And I think that's where it's recognized that would be a proposal that the county executive, from a policy standpoint, wishes to forward to the Board of Legislature, at which time there will be umpteen approvals required, CEQA, the board would have to be involved. Any proposal that involved parkland, of course, would require the Board of Legislature. As we all know, for any parkland alienation questions, it requires a local act of the legislature, go to the state legislature. So we fully recognize, but I just want to make sure we recognize what we're doing now. This was a very non-traditional way to try and get, because of the uniqueness and sensitivity of Playland, to get the public involved, as well as the board and the Citizens Review Committee. We're now in, like, a real RFP, if you were going to do RFP for tires or fire trucks or pens or paper or something like that. So we're now entering the legal phase, and when all that's thrown in the pot, and I think what the Chief of Staff was talking about is perhaps when we reach the appropriate stage, we'd like to have some of the members of the Board of Legislature discuss and become involved in that. But of course, at the appropriate time, it will come to the board for any and all action as required, because phase four is what we euphemistically refer to as negotiations. That's negotiations, contracts, approvals, environmental. That's quite a lengthy process, and of course that would have to be a partnership, otherwise nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it was a little longer than I started out, but I just, again, want to manage expectations as far as where we are.
Yeah, that's fine. And as I mentioned, the after the report was released, what was asked of this committee was to immediately schedule a meeting where all 12 would be asked to come in, and I think it was an easy thing to ask for. However, when you actually think about it, 12 independent proposals sitting in this room waiting for their turn at bat, and like I say, to give them an opportunity to talk to the legislature's committee on parks about what they were proposing, and then be prepared to take some questions, you quickly know you're going to be here for a couple of days. And so my thinking was that as we move forward, one thing that we might be able to do, as you know, kind of strike a happy medium, the legislators who have been able to go through this may be able to identify different proposals, maybe two or three or whatever, that kind of represent approaches. And then maybe a schedule meeting, have one come in and talk to them about their particular approach to things, without getting too deep and into areas where you got to close the doors and get involved with stuff that is proprietary. And maybe it might be worthwhile for the board, through its committee, to get a feel for the different types of approaches that these RFPs represent, rather than reading them, maybe have the, you know, the live bodies in here kind of selling their thinking, giving us a chance to talk about that. And certainly my view would be that all legislators, anybody in the government, yourselves included, have an opportunity to listen, because it might be interesting to actually hear, you know, what goes behind the written statements that they submitted. But it's one possible activity for the board as we work our way down that road, because we do know that at some point it's highly likely that the way things always happen, the executive branch will develop a concept, an idea for what they want to do that will be formalized, all the details set, the proposal will be delivered to the board, and then it's in our hands for us to consider. And I hear you correctly, prior to that actually occurring, there's a lot of take off the jacket, roll up the sleeves, we got to do some work and talk about different things, trying to reach that shared objective that we have. And I think that certainly that most RFPs don't unfold that way, and we all know that, but I think that would be a healthy way to approach this. And I know that there are legislators who and Judy's been very active and interested in this, and I know she would be.
But I guess this is the first time, frankly, that I've heard an admission that the legislature has anything to do with this process at all. And if I may, am I correct in the takeaway from what you have outlined is that the administration will work to come up with one proposal, and then that's the proposal that will be forwarded to the Board of Legislators?
Well, first of all, I think you've been part of the process. In fact, three members of your board sat on this committee.
Right.
So, I think it's, I don't think that it's like the board hasn't been part of this.
I didn't say that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't say that at all. I said my understanding from what you're saying. I'm just trying to make myself, to be perfectly clear on this and understand where we're going with this. Am I correct in assuming then what you're saying is the administration will go on to the next phase of this RFP process and phase three and four, and they will eventually then send something down to the Board of Legislators?
The first thing is, the county executive didn't see this until Thursday. Again, I think
Am I correct in what I'm saying? Yes or no?
Not entirely. I don't think it's a yes or no question.
Yeah,
it's not. Let me give you a flavor of how this went about. If there was a conscious decision made for deputy county executive, for me, for the county executive to really take a step back from this, so that it did not appear in any way that we were trying to influence the citizens committee or the RFPs. Believe me, some of these people who proposed RFPs had hired people to work for them that I know that would call me and say, and I would say, I'm prohibited from talking to you. I don't even want to go out for a cup of coffee with you because it could be misconstrued. I know Billy, too. I know some of you, Marty Rakowski called me one day and said some guy, nobody was getting back to him. And, if we're going to make this an even process, you can't have, whether it's me or Bill Mooney or anybody, talking to one particular RFP submitter and not somebody else. They all had to have access to the same information at the same time. So having said that, the county executive has yet to really delve into this. We have not yet convened a meeting with Parks and Law and our budget people to look at the financial information. As you know from being on the Citizens Committee, some of these people who submitted RFPs redacted a lot of information that they claimed was proprietary. We will now, for the first time, see that, at least us. And there may be something in there that changes this. There might have been one of the ones in the second tier that now that we see their full report or their full background, but they were unwilling to share that because this, unlike, as Bill said, unlike most RFPs which are given to a department and everybody opens them at the same time, this was a very public process. So you don't want to give a competitive advantage away in what you're submitting, so some of them didn't do that. So that's where we are now. Now, where we go from there, I think, we can come back to this committee in a week or two and tell you, what came out of those discussions, and if we've thrown out four of them that we say, there's absolutely no way this is going to be something that happens. Or if we go to, we find one that's just stellar, or we start to look at components from different ones and say, maybe Mr. X should talk to Ms. Y and work on something. And then I think at that point we would try to find a mechanism to bring the the legislature is. Because what we don't want to do is spend months and months and months working, negotiating some kind of deal, and then bring it down like this to you guys, and you say, well, that's we're not going to vote for that. You know, and now we've wasted.
So how do you avoid that?
By the same way we believe we did it here, by involving the public and involving the legislature in the process. The question, I can't tell you at this point in time exactly how that's going to be done, but I can assure you, just as we had legislators sit on here and be part of, open to all of this information that came in through the RFPs, as we begin to put our work together, we will share it with the legislature before we come up with a final recommendation or a final...
Through the committee.
I know you guys do tell us how to run our shop, but I'm not going to tell you guys how to run the legislature.
We're just trying to figure out how you want
It's however you come up with the... Look, with the housing settlement, we started first with one group, and then leadership decided it should go through the housing committee, which is fine. If leadership here or the board itself decides it should be this way, or if you want to have a committee of the whole once every 6 weeks, or... You want to have a select group, maybe the same three legislators that sat in on this would be assigned as a subcommittee, or we'll leave that up to your discussion.
Oh, so we could do it through the committee system if we want.
I don't see why we couldn't on occasion come down here to the committee and say, here's what we've looked at, this is what we're working on, this is the...
Well, that's sort of how the other departments work, so I would think that...
Most RFPs, all the years I was here, is the administration would take the RFPs, whether it was for leasing a building or hiring a consultant, and they would basically confront us with...
Right, and that was my question. Is that what you're going to do, or are you going to use the committee system?
We're going to use the committee system to the extent that we can to involve you before you get a final product.
Can I just
add to that, sort of. Mary Jane, before you come to help answer Judy's question, is we don't know at this juncture, as George just pointed out, is, you know, respectfully, this is neither, the committee has neither the authority nor the right to accept or reject. It's on the county.
That's not even a question.
When you say, and then we're going to submit a proposal, we don't know what will come of this.
Understand. Is what's your objective here, or what's your course of conduct?
Well, as the county exec pointed out a couple times, any number of things could happen. We could choose to move forward with one of the people. We could choose to move forward with a combination of some of the people.
And then that's the recommendation that would come to the board?
We could reject them all and say, we don't feel any of these are worthwhile. So we don't know what this will result in. Because we're doing the work too. We're rolling our sleeves up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get to my point on this, first, George, would you convey to the planning department my fulsome gratitude for moving so fast on getting the mapping along the Sawmill River done?
I already did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, as far as this is concerned, I think moving through the committee process is very important, but I think... We're essentially dealing with an inherently creative process here because we may be talking about synergy between various proposals, synergy with the Children's Museum. There may be ways, I think that any approach through the committee would have to be supplemented by some sort of offline structure, perhaps with leadership or a couple point people from the board on this to do some back and forth and just brainstorm about what
I would welcome
the best ideas would be.
Particularly if we're going to start looking at financial and proprietary information and we still have other players in the game, you have to be careful what you can share at an open session.
A couple quick things. First, just on the communications, George, you're right, but it just my concern that I expressed to you, and you know, the process is over, but may start again in some fashion. What was conveyed to me that the proposals were in like in March, whatever that deadline was, went in, and the fellow relayed to me, you know, he didn't even hear back that you got it. You know, so it was just he wasn't looking for having any substantive dialogue. It was just seemed that. We received it and we'll get back to you in 4 months. That's what was missing from what he told me.
I heard that too. Okay, and as a result, we started posting on the dedicated website how we communicated with the proposers, you know, updates and notices, thanking them for their patience.
That was the concern I expressed. Yeah, I said, I thought there was a blip in the process because it went in and then
he was calling me, when are we going to hear? You know, I said, well, I don't know.
It's a very interesting mix of people, and people have said that. You know, there's some interesting groups here that are made up of LLCs or hedge funds or whatever, and some of them are not traditional government people.
All right, so they
want to know. They think things move normal pace, not government.
If you told them it's next Tisha B'Av, they say, you know, whenever. They just needed to know. I felt they should get a response as to what the timing is.
And we'll definitely keep that in mind going forward.
Okay. Now, on this, and Bill, you mentioned, you quoted the county executive, and I think let's all remember, because when this thing first came out, as I heard it, and I think as you've expressed, the county executive, at least you guys, may take this and just throw it out. I mean, there's no law that says, it's right. One of these 12 or even a combination. This was just, you threw it out there. Let's see what happens. So I mean, a lot of work went into this, and but at the end of the day, there's nothing in the law that says this means anything. It's kind of keep going, keep working the process, because, at some point, Judy, to your point, I think the board, and I have some ideas, we may have a 13th proposal that the board comes up with, or just, tweaking here, tweaking there, look at the finances, how we make changes, and I can put some recommendations on the table at some point.
I will reserve my I can think of how you could rename some of the rides.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of...
Yowski's Roller Coaster.
I'm thinking more like, just because they're a constituent, Pepsi's Playland, But we can tweak it out. My only point is, Mr. Chairman, we should just look at this in the context of what it really is. It's a great start, creative ideas, but at the end of the day, it might be nothing. We're not tied. Mm-hmm. And as you said, maybe parts of five of them. Board might take pieces of all five. We may decide, there's a little bit here, and put together a proposal.
If whether it's through the committee or your caucuses or however, if in the next week or so folks read through this and have ideas, I think it'd be helpful to submit that to the administration, because as I said, Rob's just begun to look at this, so nobody's wedded to anything that's in here. It's still an open book.
We had a policy, and we tied in, allegedly we were going to save money, and then maybe we did, where we bought out some rides that were not ours, because frankly the terms of those deals weren't very good, but in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman, there are 45 rides, 50, if we, frankly, leased out all 45, or sold them, and did the deals where we take 50% off the top, and the concessionaire deals all the expenses of 50%, which some of those, that model, guaranteed to make money, whatever they think. Our 50% comes off the top. So, there's little change going the other way. Sell everything and take the 50%. So I'm saying there's these 12, there are other ideas. I assume they're all on the table as we move forward, and it's just in that context. But there's some interesting stuff in here. You put it out there, people come up with ideas.
I think it's pretty clear. We all, the executive and the legislature, we all realize that there are a lot of different ideas out there. There are some people that think today, if we made the decision that you could go down the road of a hotel and a shopping center, there are some people in Westchester actually believe that that's one of the alternatives. Or you could, right, exactly. And they don't understand the alienation of parkland. They don't get any of that at all. There are others that know that, as parkland, you can be over here on the one extreme as very, very passive. You can be really creative and as active as you want to be on the other extreme. But clearly, I think we all shared the view that we wanted to take some steps to make Playland maybe fresher and operating in a different way that made it better, and the park would be a better financial performer, and a whole lot of different things would come up in these conversations. And so we're now we're knocking on the door of October. We will soon be in our budget process. And if this never happens, we know that in front of us is a discussion about what are we going to do as the government to make Playland better and maybe even a little bit different, but better in many different respects. So when we get to the 2012 season, we're off and running. We have a shot at having a better performer down there on the shore and in that park. And the amusement park, could eat up a lot of time around this table as people brought forward their best guesses. Marty just outlined some stuff. Put everything back in the hands of concessionaires, or sell it all and take a piece of it each year under an agreement. But there are so many different ideas. So without this, we know what would be in front of us. And of course, a lot of it would take place during our budget conversation about what should the cost center's budget look like.
And that still will happen.
And that's going to happen. So we know that if this committee does nothing, and if this didn't exist, we know where we're headed. This does exist, and we know that you know, Rob is going to take a look at it the same way all of our legislators down here will. And so we know that this will begin to play a part of the discussion in the fourth quarter. But my point was that this board, through this committee, has a number of different options. You now have presented one, which I think the committee would very much like to work with the administration to kind of figure out, well, where do we go? Now that we have this, where do we go with this? The other possibility, acting independent of the administration, this committee might say, committee members have had an opportunity to go through in great detail the 12 proposals. But I can tell you, the majority of legislators on this floor weren't part of that process, so they don't know those proposals in great detail. We could set up a system where they will learn about each one of the 12, and that's what I meant at the beginning of the meeting. I've been asked that this committee do exactly that and bring everybody in. But I haven't heard from the committee members yet. I don't know whether that's what they want. Maybe what they want is representatives of the different approaches, or give me the top three or four. Maybe that's what this committee would like to do. Bring those folks in for maybe an hour session each. Tell us about what you submitted as much as you can in public, and answer some questions we might have, so we get a better feel for the kind of thing you were suggesting to the citizens panel. They don't have to do that. You guys don't have to do that. But it's certainly something that would get you a little bit closer to what actually, you know, what actually was submitted and how these proposals are different. It could very well be that the committee members, you may want to read this, and then the other members of the legislature, we probably should perhaps bring them in and talk about it now that they've all read it. What would you like to do? Would you like to weed out those you're not interested in and only talk to maybe two or three or four? Once again, not to make a decision that you're getting it and you're not, but just to learn a little bit about the types of approaches that are out there that have been offered by these three or four different proposals. There's a lot of things that we could do leading up to the first real serious discussion about this, and I think that will certainly be in the context of the budget. But I think that probably we need to go beyond just this committee and find out what our colleagues think. I don't know whether or not the other 12 people on the board have read through this yet.
Did they all receive them?
Yeah, I think they did.
No.
Oh, no?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, you know, when we get together, we can urge both Pete Harkham and Jim Mazzano to urge their caucus to get the members to get in and read this. So we as the Parks Committee can make a recommendation to the board. We think we ought to have a session devoted to presentations by these three, just to become more informed about the approach taken by A as opposed to B as opposed to C and D. And that might be one approach, but it doesn't need to be even in the picture if you choose, you know, not to do that. I just want to put it on the table as a way to address some of this. If the all 17 legislators would like to bring everybody in here, if it's a sense of the Parks Committee, you want to invest that kind of time over 12 weeks, maybe you bring in a party a week, because I don't think you can bring them in for 10 or 15 minutes. I think if you bring them in, in all fairness to them, they need time to present. We need time for very thoughtful, you know, questions about their proposals. So it could be that we want to kind of sort things out and then ultimately make a selection for the board to consider scheduling meetings for the future. But anyway, I think that it is different. Typically, you know, there are many, many RFPs that are flying out of county government, and this one is different because there's a citizen committee attached to it, And of course, the it's a major consideration to rework, kind of reinvent what's down there now. And I think the only way that we accomplish this, where the end product is very positive for us as a government that owns it and for the people of Westchester that support it, is for us to work together to get there. And so that's something that, you know, we have, I know, in our immediate future. And I'm not speaking for the committee, but I think that that probably would be time well invested. Anyway, Mary Jane, were you going to... Oh, okay. All right. So anyway, I don't know. At this point, the message that you conveyed, I think, is very important. I take it seriously. Very, very important message you conveyed. I will be passing that on to the other members of the committee, as well as members of the legislature down here that I talk to. And then in the meantime, we'll try to think of some things that we want to do as a legislative branch that have to do with focusing maybe special attention on the general approaches that have been given to the county with respect to playground possibilities. Anyone else before our guests?
Well, are we going to go on to the transportation issues or not?
I have the...
Do we?
Yes.
All right, if you're here for those as well, that would be... I didn't know that you were. Okay.
Well, just what's the time frame? Did you say that beginning? The next step on this, and are you aiming for next February kind of recommendation to the board?
I think that the county executive is looking to have an internal review done within the next 3 to 4 weeks. I'd say
maybe a little longer.
Yeah. Okay. You know, by the end of October, at which time I think then it's appropriate to have whatever structure you set up a little bit of a dialogue to see.
Okay, so that's the time.
And then we'll know, because if there's nothing, like you said, you may say, this is useless, you know, forget it, we'll just do what we can do and get,
I mean, that,
you know, we don't know.
That would have to have some bearing on those portions of the budget that deal with this.
Correct. Yeah, well, either way, I mean, realistically, I don't think we're seeing any major change at Playland.
For next year.
Yeah.
It's just too late into the year.
I think we're still proceeding.
Didn't the county executive make a statement about that next year?
The county executive did not rule out the closing of some of the rides in the amusement park, right?
I see.
When asked by a reporter. Right.
Okay. In terms of doing anything in here for next year.
Correct. Let me just, if I can, because unfortunately, I do have to leave, but on the school issue, it has come.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, it came to our attention. The problem is
there's two transportation.
Yeah, but this is the the other one we're going to have to get. I think Mr. Stiller, if you have a question about a route, right?
Oh yes, but he informed. They've all informed me that we can only do it through you, so I assumed this had all gone through you already.
It probably did, but I didn't get. We're still here. I guess I missed that. I thought you were calling about this situation with the school kids.
It's both. It's
okay.
Both. It's actually both the school as well as a termination of, that's already happened, a termination of a route with no legislative input and no public input.
Well, there had to be public input. I don't think we can.
Well, they did it. They've done it. It's stopped.
Yeah, but there has to be a public notice and a public hearing before.
And did you think that's been done without any legislative?
If we didn't, we would lose our funding from a lot of sources. We
How do we find that out?
I'll find out for you, but I...
Because this route has been canceled and to the best...
It was 76, I don't think.
Yes, it's back and forth from the ride train
station. I don't think the whole route was canceled.
No, just during commuter times.
Yeah, I think... part of it was canceled, but usually when there's an
despite a four-year waiting list for parking places at the train station.
We ran like 5 buses and 17 people rode it.
I don't know. The trouble is that as the sitting legislator for the impacted municipality, there has been no communication from the administration, nor have I been able to access any information from any of the Department of Transportation, because we've been told that that can only come through you. They're not allowed to pick up the phone.
No.
They're not allowed to write emails, and which makes it a little difficult, but we're still trying to do what you want. But the issue here is that this has already been canceled. There are people who are no longer able to access Metro North to get into their jobs in the city, and it just seems like we missed a couple of beats here.
Okay.
mainly in terms of public hearings, legislative input, et cetera, et cetera.
My understanding is you can't do anything with these routes without a public hearing.
I see. And how come something's already been done then, is the question.
Well, I guess there was a public hearing on it. You know.
And would we not have been notified of a public hearing?
Well, you notify the way a public hearing notice goes out. I don't know necessarily that somebody would send a letter to every writer. But usually
they're sitting legislator.
Usually they post it on the bus, though, don't they? Don't they have to post it on the bus?
So conceivably, there could have been a public hearing on this that the county legislator for the district would not have known about.
I guess. You know.
Wow. Would that have happened when you were a legislator?
It happened all the time.
Did it really?
Oh, yes.
I'm so surprised. I never heard of that.
Oh, well, believe me.
Poor you. I guess this is payback, huh?
Going back to, no, it's not, it has nothing to do with payback, just the procedure that's followed.
I don't think it's a new one to me. I was the only one singled out
when they changed bus routes.
It just seems to me we've had a lot of public hearings and activity in the past with regards to changes in bus routing.
That's what I'm saying.
In the past, but not this time.
All right, so we know the, what is the route number?
76.
Okay. So we've had... We do know we've had a change in service on 76.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe there was a public hearing that nobody knew about.
Who would be helpful to the committee and to you to find out whether or not these steps were...
Rich Stiller.
Okay.
He's not allowed to return phone calls.
I'll talk to him.
Thank you.
So we'll get the information
and
back.
Nobody told Rich he's not allowed.
Yeah.
Yes, Commissioner Hsu did. Yes. And Commissioner Hsu has also... He's not allowed to talk to us either, he said. So... It would be really helpful to know how we can work together, maybe.
Okay. Now what was the... I guess you pretty much framed what the issue is with it. It's service curtailment for...
Yes, B-line number 76 bus. Uh-huh. And I do believe that there is an awareness because I've seen emails that have carboned our county executive on this. So I don't... Maybe he doesn't talk to you about it, but I do know that there has been... You know, communication, because I get carboned also. So, and then the other issue has to do with keeping 5-year-olds off of B-line buses, and that's a policy that, again, we wondered how this policy
was
made.
Just so it's clear, that's not a policy.
Right.
Oh, we were told that the county executive, the deputy county executive, had made this a policy.
That was in the newspaper. And he was
right. No, this was verbal.
Well, I'm reading from a misquoted newspaper.
It's not true. This is a situation where no good deed goes unpunished, because in an attempt to help the schools with transportation, we're trying to utilize the B-line buses.
Sure.
Apparently what happened is a youngster got on the bus, and the parent...
He didn't get on.
Well, he didn't get on because the parent objected to somebody that young. We do not have a policy as to age. Metro North has a policy that says you have to be at least 8 years old to get on the bus.
Well, this is to ride by yourself.
Correct. So we have a meeting set up with the superintendent of the schools to try to work it out. But understand...
Didn't that happen last Tuesday?
We did have a meeting.
We had one meeting, but we haven't come to a conclusion yet. So
one of the
fundamental things that the administration is trying to do is share and consolidate services. This is... You know, one of the things we want to use as a cornerstone, that when our B-line buses, if we can utilize them to help offset school districts and their transportation costs, we want to do it. But again, it's the theory of no good deed goes unpunished. County taxpayers can't foot the bill for a monitor to go on a public bus for school kids, because it's the responsibility of the school district. So we have to find a way that we can make this work so that we can help the school districts out, help them meet whatever guidelines they've got with the state education department. But primarily, this is their responsibility, not the B-line bus system of the county taxpayer.
So we're clear also, the parents objected to the State Department of Education, which upheld the ruling to put the 5-year-old on the bus. The parents have appealed that. We were contacted asking to weigh in with a policy. We declined to participate in the ongoing litigation, which is appropriate. That's between the parents and the school district. The deputy county executive did tell the superintendent that quote that she referred to was incorrect in our meeting of last week. The deputy county executive was attributed that said a policy had been made, as chief of staff just told you, and I told you, a policy is not made, and the deputy county executive did not say that.
Now, is the county, through the chair, is the county executive's office looking to make a policy in with regards to the beeline?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to develop. We can't do it on an ad hoc basis, but again, it goes back to what I said. We are trying our best to utilize the beeline to help not just this school district, but other school districts.
And is there, I hate to sound like I'm a one-note Johnny here, but is there a role for the County Board of Legislators in any of this?
I don't know what role. What role would you play?
That's my question to you, or through the chair to you. Is there a role within the Board of Legislators for transportation policy with regard to beeline?
Yeah, well, you could certainly construct the line. Let me just kind of park that right here, just for a moment. If we're using rolling stock through Beeline to assist schools with, I mean, that's a tremendous cost that they have to provide.
It's on regular routes. We're prohibited from using those buses on a non-scheduled route.
Oh, that's where I was going with it. So these are on regular
routes.
Okay.
Now, what we have done for a couple of schools is we have modified some of the routes in order to accommodate the school schedule, or an instance where you might have, you know, a certain cluster of potential rider students who might be one block away. And as long as it's not disrupted to the scheduling and the flow of the route, we've moved some of these lines where they cut up one block, go down two blocks, pick up four or five kids, come back down, and go back on the same road they were on. And so we've been working the last 2 years with the different school districts on trying to see if there's a way we can help them with their transportation costs by making the Beeline more student user friendly, so to speak.
Let me ask you a question. The involvement of Beeline with the transportation needs of districts, is that substantially increasing the volume of the ridership?
Well, no, because they get a student discount. I mean, it increases
just a head count.
Yeah, but it doesn't help our bottom line. Yes. They get a substantial, for instance, rather than Rhinelander having to pay for a dedicated bus and a driver, they give one kid a $50 bus pass.
Right.
They save tens of thousands of dollars, as George said. That's part of our mission, to make sure that we collaborate with these shared services.
Yeah.
But it's a public safety issue. The same way as a driver of a bus, from a policy standpoint, administrative standpoint, can deny somebody to get on the bus because they're intoxicated or that they believe to be dangerous or something.
Yeah.
This person is assuming, and the county is assuming, responsibility for a five-year-old child riding this bus, having to make transfers. And as George just pointed out, we cannot have dedicated school buses. The federal funding is explicitly tied to that.
Yeah.
You can't dedicate all of these buses to public rides as well as the children.
So when Judy steps back and thinks about all the different possibilities of things that occur on the system now and some new possibilities because of the bus being used to transport school kids, it's conceivable that, you know, here in this committee we might say, well, okay, fine. Those types of things they wouldn't stand as a bar to our being involved. Or some of the things that you know could come up, we might be concerned about, and our position might be that we'd like to continue to operate the buses for the general public, but this new area for especially young kids, and knowing what's happening now, young kids by themselves getting on the buses is an area of concern to us. So we prefer to have our contractor not do that under the contract.
Wonder whose decision that.
Yeah.
Was.
Well, I can say I think that we certainly, if we decided to take that up, we would certainly have firm ground to stand on to take that up as an issue that we could come down with a position on. But of course, then it requires that we're dealing with another branch and everything.
You really have to weigh this with risk management because
there's a lot of
liability if a kid gets on one of these buses unattended something happens. I mean, it's just you guys see it. You settle a lot of the accident cases, and as a legislator all those years I was here, I'd say half of them were Beeline bus crashes where somebody got run over or hurt. Or we had that one tragedy not too long ago where somebody's scarf, I think, got put in the the doors or something, and the bus rode off. And so anyway, I do apologize. I do have to run.
I know you do. Okay.
I have a report on Miller House, but quite frankly, Commissioner Hsu was not available today. I didn't want to have him come in as well. I want to tell you, though, one interesting development that arose last week, mm-hmm. which we're pursuing. Jim, I never say his name right, Killian from Habitat. He wants Habitat to get involved. I think either tomorrow or Wednesday, he's going over with some parks people to Miller House. I was worried about his ability to do this, but apparently he's been certified by some kind of historic building type people. So he has, so that's good. That's a way to bring this cost down even further.
President Carter could come down and
I was also to that point approached by someone who is the director of the Bird House and the House, and she could easily help with discussions about a far less expensive way of doing this.
Well, that's been the goal. The Construction Industry Council last year came forward, and then when we started talking to them, at first we thought they were donating their services. It really wasn't. But that's still on the table, too. And, you know, the costs of the move, we have the issue with the move is we would have to, one of the things that concerns us is you do lose the historic status the minute you move property, and there is a whole process, and there's no guarantee that it retains the historic designation.
Now, let me ask you a question, because this was something that we asked to have checked out quite a while ago, and the report came back to us and said that considering where you proposed to relocate to, as the Purdy House down here was moved up on the hill with no loss, the report that came back to us was that there wouldn't be any loss in status. So has this now changed?
It never changed. Every correspondence I've seen from New York State, what's it called? It's called the
SHPO?
It's under the Historic
Preservation.
It's called the Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic
Preservation.
OPRH. Their letters have always said that it automatically goes away, that there's a likelihood it would be approved, but you've got to meet all these criteria. They will not give you, I don't know why. I mean, we could take them to where the site is. We could show them mm-hmm. everything and say, all right, if we do all of this, will you? But they're not willing to do that.
You have to reapply. I don't think it's inconsistent from what you said is, I mean, maybe they did move it, but they said, all right, if you go here, we'll re-grant it. Yeah. We've been told from the outset that the minute you move it, it loses.
Well, I'm wondering whether or not our earlier discussions with different folks, possibly they kind of felt that all of that middle detail stuff wouldn't be a problem in accomplishing. So our answer to the board is, now that, like almost in the end, there wouldn't be any loss. But there was a heck of a lot probably that wasn't shared with us a couple of years ago when this first came up. All right, okay. Is there any chance of knowing that there's going to be, Jim is going to be involved with this relatively soon?
Well, we don't know. He's going to be there till. He doesn't even know where the Miller House is.
Okay.
If you know Jim, he's a great guy. He's very enthused, but, you know, let him get his ducks in a row before we...
I think we should go for that reality show. Have some kind
I appreciate, you know, you have the report there. Can we push this forward a week then?
I'll be here next week. All right. And I'll have Mr. Hsu come in next week.
Yeah, okay. If you could arrange that for us, we'll put it on the agenda right away. Okay.
We'll let him speak.
All right. Okay. I know you fellas have to get running, so why don't I thank you on behalf of the committee for being here and answering some questions today.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I am embarrassed, but I am bereft of time, so I can't be here to deal with my own items.
There's a couple of things. Maybe we should talk about really as a committee and as a board how we feel about our major transit provider getting, and I got the impression, although it may not have revenue considerations, this is a major new population that they may be moving on our system.
most of the school superintendents are really trying to, anything other than a city has to provide transportation to, for its residents to take the children to schools that may be out of district.
And your district is which now?
This particular district that has brought this up is the Rhine Neck School District.
So their answer to student transportation is the Beeline.
Well, only for those who are too young to take Metro North. I mean, they're really trying to cobble together solutions to this problem of transportation that are more cost effective.
I think we better visit because I don't see how you put an elementary school age kid unaccompanied on a bus. There's no monitor on that bus.
Yeah.
He gets on with the general population. I mean, it's one thing when it's
middle school and high school is one thing, but elementary school is real trouble.
They've already passed their school budgets with all of this in place.
Where's the judgment of the school board, if I may ask? Do they know that
they couldn't afford to provide these private transportation systems?
Yeah, but they put a
You can't put a five-year-old out.
No, what, I mean,
bus.
Ideally, what you want is the parent
Why did the parents not rise up over this?
The parents might not have known.
No, they did. I think they gave the parents the options. We can provide transportation for your child on the Beeline bus, or you can drive your child yourself. Obviously, it's always an option. But because the state education law says that any non-city must provide transportation, I think they felt that they would try to work within existing public transportation because it's proven too costly. I know in one case that I'm aware of, the school district has a bus take one child 1 mile down the road at a cost of about $50,000 a year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that law has resulted in some really god-awful economies, but the fact of the matter is you can't put a five-year-old kid unaccompanied on a transit bus. So basically they're kicking the can to us, hoping that we'll come up with a bus monitor or something, which we can't afford either.
We've all seen for decades. Parents or caregivers taking those kids almost by the hand to the corner, to the stop, watching them get on a school bus with other kids, and off they go. They get to school. They're at the school all day long. They come back in the afternoon. And those same people are there waiting to take their hands as they get off.
Right.
To think that you're going to put them into a public transit system.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that parents all of a sudden decide that what they were so careful about.
I'm not sure that it was a parental decision. I think this was school boards
and
doing this and making, and but they passed their budgets, and I think this is their concern is what are they going to do now if Beeline makes a... if the county executive makes a policy decision with regards to this, how do they go back and fulfill their job of getting these kids to school?
But I have a question, Judy. If you got a five-year-old, or it tends to happen more often with an eight-year-old kid, it seems, a nine-year-old kid, and something really dreadful happens, are we legally responsible in any way for permitting this to go on our buses?
I don't know. That was the whole reason for asking who makes these policy decisions. Right. Where is this written?
I still think that we would be on very firm ground if the legislature decided to take the question up and we just decided that, no, we don't want our transit provider getting involved with the school districts and transporting the young kids. We don't want you to do that. We have every right to take that issue up and come up with that position. I think we kind of go down the same road with so many other different issues, where we then take it to the administration and say, we know you've already set this in motion, we don't want it, and they come back and say, well, we understand, we agree with you, or, well, we don't understand, and we're telling them, you can go ahead and do it. Now we're again. One of the things I think we ought to do is get the county attorney up here to talk to us about, George mentioned risk, he's absolutely right. I mean, what, in fact, in their view, is our exposure? You know, because I'll tell you what, Beeline is not known as, oh, that's Liberty Lines, that independent outfit that the county contracts. Beeline is the county bus.
Right.
And my kid got hurt on a county bus, and I'm going after the county. And I think we need to have that kind of conversation.
Interestingly, I guess because the schools, I mean, a lot of kids take the bus to school, but I guess it hasn't been, when they change this, it's never come up. We don't have to address it, it just hasn't come up. Yeah. Now if they've changed their system, and all of a sudden, a five-year-old has to get to school in a certain situation. They got rid of their local buses.
Right.
Now, so it's coming up maybe the first time. Can you let a 4 or 5 year old on?
Yeah.
But it's
no, you're absolutely right.
Well, that's why I want to know where this decision making lies. Who, how is policy decided for the Beeline buses? Is it legislative branch or is it with the executive?
Well, you know what's interesting?
As far as the federal laws.
If it's never come up, especially age requirements, if that's never come up, and the school simply says, there's a system in the county that exists, doctors, jobs, schools, whatever you need to get to, that system will take you there. And they tell the kids, buy the bus, we'll subsidize your pass. All of this could be going on, and we never knew about it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, you know, interesting. New York City used to post on the sides of the buses the age that a child could not ride on the company.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's, I haven't been the New York City bus in years, but it may be interesting to check out some other municipalities.
I think it's very
important. Have a height, you know, you don't want bus drivers though, carting kids. Like, come on, are you height 5 line. Or 6 or
right,
4?
Right,
but the plane line has a height line. Right? We don't card them, but if you're not this tall, you can't go on the ride. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a...
The driver can say,
but the drivers,
you can't ride this. You can ride the Dragon Coaster.
But the drivers, they're busy driving the bus.
But can you take the Dragon Coaster to school?
Right.
But to put that burden on the driver, and he gets the street, he's measuring heights or carding, you know,
I don't know.
Driver's
I mean,
license.
What surprised me even more was the response that the superintendent, when he called me, I hadn't heard of this, and B, the response was that this is something that is solely within the purview of the county executive's office.
Well, I think it starts there.
Yeah.
Bill says if we want to get engaged, I think
we can.
Well,
that's why I put it into a letter to Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly can, if we choose to.
But it probably maybe
and we can adopt
starts
a position.
It starts with the administration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it starts with them. But
a lot of our stuff ends up, you know, down the road. It's not inconceivable that a resolution doesn't pop up on that floor where our position is clearly laid out. And we have every right in the world to go down that road. The real question is what comes of it.
Right,
I have I have another point, too. As we read through this, I don't...
Are we still in session?
Yeah. I know...
Coffee.
I don't know.
Susan,
The color copies, I understand, are available if you really want.
$4.98
will play. Hey, well, that's originally we got $2 on the tax side.
The thing that I think we need to think about is after we go through here and we read the report, and there's at least one copy around of the proposals. Maybe the committee needs to make a decision as to whether or not. After reading this, we as a committee want to talk to anybody, or we want to talk to a few, or we recommend to the full board that perhaps through a committee of the whole, we talk to a few. I'm familiar enough with the proposals to know that I don't believe I would be interested in having all 12 in to talk to all 12. But that's just my opinion. But I think as a committee, we need to quickly determine whether or not we want to recommend to the full board. There's reasons why we want to bring them all in. They're all so different, and they all stand well on their own. Or we may want to say we think that there are 3 or 4 that maybe we want to give some time to. And once again, keep this in mind, not so much, and we need the legislators to understand this, we're not trying to push anybody. We just want to know about their approach. They all come from different backgrounds, and there are different histories involved here of these people who submitted proposals. It probably would put us in a better position to understand options for us as we go into 212. If we understand a little bit better from people who have had a hand in this over the years, why they propose what they propose, and you know, and talk to them a little bit about it, if we want to do that. Or we simply throw it back to the committee of the whole and we have leadership decide, let's over the next 3 weeks in marathon sessions bring in everybody that submitted proposals and we'll talk to them. And I, for one, I don't think that would be the right way to go. But anyway.
You're asking for input?
No, input certainly. And tell me how you feel about it.
Off the top of my head, I would have this response. We all can read this and have certainly ideas, and you know, we all have ideas, but my suggestion seems to me, one, I believe in the community system, so I think we have a major role on behalf of the board. Any means we have, we can invite all the legislators, they have a certain burden
right.
They want to come.
We're always able to do that.
I think based on the administration's told us, they're going to go through this, they're going to refine it and come down to the next level, whether it's, again, one, two, or three, whatever, I don't even know. But
or a combination.
I would let them keep going. The next product where they say these are the best two we think, or whatever they do, one, two, what they may give us nine. At that point, we have that decision, we have all this backup, we have more, and at that point, we can take their product and we still can bring in, geez, I really like number 12, and so we can still do what you said or you know, bring in extras, but I would wait for the next cut because they've got the extras, they've got the parks folks, they're going through that.
And the lawyers.
In other words, let them do a little more work. And then after, because this is still too...
It's very loose.
It's still too broad. The next time when they really hone in on... They might say, these are our top three. We may still want to see. We have a consensus. There's a fourth that we still want to look at. I mean, we can still do that. But I'd want to get their expertise and their analysis to take that next cut.
I would,
and then do that.
I would agree with that.
Otherwise, we bring in seven or nine, and we're still kind of not wasting time, but spending a lot of time. Yeah.
And that would be a big job.
It would be a big job. After their next cut.
Well, some of these are out of town.
Yeah, but after their next cut, we might say, well, they really left.
I mean, one group is New Orleans.
Yeah,
no,
so.
One group had, I don't know whether the person is in the United States, but there's an Italian end of it.
Well, several, they said, we're not responsive to the RFP, so if you want to play legal, they could say, well, they weren't responsive.
No, there was just one.
Okay, that's what you want.
Yeah, so is Phil. But I think the point is that I think,
Give them one more round.
Because I think, interestingly, the committee itself, the Citizens Committee, did not bring the 12 in.
Mm. Well, see, that's a very good point to make. Yeah.
They didn't do it. The reason this committee punted, if you will, and I was part of it and Bill was part of it, there was not enough information because of all the redactions. Mm. You could not make a fair, balanced...
Well, that's another reason. They're going to go through, and if they want to, at the next level, they are going
to
ask.
They can get to that.
They
can get to the proprietary information because they were the ones who issued the
RFP.
That's
why I'm saying, let's wait to see what the next round is, and then we'll have the same, you put the same question on.
I think they'll really pare this down, and then the thing is...
And we can still bring in number nine.
We have to activate our people, like you, Judy, I mean, to really, really get in and start to deal with the nuts and bolts of this thing. To see whether or not anything comes out of it, because it's conceivable that maybe nothing will, and we just go into 212 trying to be helpful with how best to structure everything for a season that's going to be not all that different than 2011.
I don't think it's
going to
affect the season of operation. This is not going to affect 2012. I think he's looking at maybe closing down the six least used ride, whatever he might do for the budget, but this...
Well, then that would make for a good presentation.
Yeah. But this can't have any impact on next year because it's still 2 years away, maybe. You're looking at 2013, maybe even 2014, depending on it.
Okay. I move that we adjourn.
All right, a motion to adjourn, second. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for putting this on the agenda so quickly. I
started off the morning.
I would have assumed that Mr. Oroks would have known that he needed to bring certain people with him.
One, 2 days.
But maybe not.